You may be seated if you're turning your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, my subject this morning, America again. I want us to look at the nation of Israel, and I want us to look at the nation of America, and how God has raised both of these nations up. I'm so glad that we are supporting the nation of Israel openly once again. July the 4th is the day that we celebrate the birth of our great nation. On July 4, 1776, the Declaration of Independence informed the world that the 13 original colonists that formed the United States of America, that they were free from Britain's control. To celebrate our freedom in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, bells rang, cannons were fired, band music filled the air as a grand parade marched down Main Street. America is now 241 years old, and we have so much to thank God for. We're a melting pot. We're a melting pot that is made up of people from all over the world. But we're all Americans, and that's what we need to realize. I thank God for my military training because I learned something in the military. You judge a man not by the color of his skin, but as Dr. Martin Luther King said, by the content of his character. And I learned something else, too, that blood has one color. It runs red. And I'm thankful for all of the people that served with me and those that had my back, and I'm thankful for my military training for this great nation. But we live in the greatest nation in the world, and God has truly blessed America. Freedom is a wonderful thing, but as we've already said today, freedom is not free. Isn't it wonderful to be saved, to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? But our freedom in Christ, it was not free. He had to go to an old rugged cross, and he had to shed his precious blood, and he had to redeem you and me. There's no other way to God but through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for the freedom we have in Christ. I'm reading this morning from Joshua chapter 3. I want to begin in verse 1. Joshua 3 and 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning. They moved from Shittim and came to Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place, and I like this, and go after it. How many have a heart to go after God? You got to go after it. You got to go after the anointing. You got to go after the blessings of God. They're all yes and amen, but you got to go after it. You got to go after it in faith, and you got to go after it in obedience. Joshua 3 and 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, talking about the Ark of the Covenant, about 200 cubits by measure, or half a mile. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way hitherto. We're in a place in America that we've never passed through, but we're going to pass through it, and we're going to be a great nation. Amen. Verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, look at this, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua is saying, sanctify yourself today. Because if you will sanctify yourself today and get all of your sins under the blood, then God will do great wonders and God will do miracles in your life tomorrow. God had promised to make Joshua victorious and to give the land of Canaan to his covenant people, the children of Israel. Israel was a nation in covenant with God Almighty, and it was God who promised to fight their battles and to win their every victory. My subject, America again, let us pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for this great nation that you raised up. Thank you, Lord, that we're free to come and celebrate our roots. And Lord, we thank you for all of the people that make up this great land. We thank you for every contribution that the people that have come here, Lord, from many parts of the world have made to make America great. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us, realizing that your hand is upon this nation. God, thank you for every victory, and we praise you. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. Israel was a great nation simply because they served a great God. Israel was a nation in covenant with God Almighty, and it was God who promised to fight their every battle and to win their every victory. When I look at America and our history and how our forefathers fought to establish this great nation upon biblical principles, it's easy to realize that God's hand has been upon this nation. We have enemies without, and we have enemies within. But thanks be unto God, his hand is still upon us. I know that it's not popular to talk about politics, but it has never bothered me to preach the truth. I'm not like some preachers. I'll step over and get into that because truth is truth, and it needs to be preached from the pulpits of America. And you cannot preach about our freedom without looking at where we are as a nation and what has happened to us politically. Look at how we have been divided politically as a nation. There was a time that we were divided racially, but those walls and those barriers have come down. If you live in America, it's a land of opportunity, and you can go after it. Hallelujah. You can achieve, and you can achieve great things in this nation. No one can succeed who is divided, and the church must stand as one. God had to confuse an entire people. Look at Genesis 11 and 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they are all of one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and thou confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. God had to divide these people. They were pagans, and he had to confuse their language to keep them from building their own kingdom. You know the story about the Tower of Babel. But the world, it may be divided. But church, listen to me. The church should never be divided. We are one. Hallelujah. Nothing should divide us in the church. Politics should not divide us. We come from the same Father. Our Heavenly Father, we're all a part of the same kingdom, the kingdom of God. And we have all been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. There is one Lord. His name is Jesus. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. We live in a nation that wants to be politically correct, a nation of multi-pluralism, and we've got churches starting around us that are not established upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Aren't you glad to be saved today? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Because you've come out of darkness into the marvelous light. And you know that you know, and you're sure that you're sure that your name is in the book, and heaven is your eternal home. Hallelujah. See, we've been redeemed by the same blood, and the church should not be divided. We are not of this world, though we live in this world, we're not of this world. Jesus said, Father, I pray that they may be one, I and thou and me, that they may be one in us. And the world may know that thou has loved them as thou has loved me. He said, I pray that you not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil of the world. I'm glad that I serve a God that's able to keep me. And you said unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy. Paul said that I pray that God sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body, and that you be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. If you're going to be preserved blameless, there must have been a time you were made blameless. That's when you went to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you came out of darkness into the marvelous light, and you knew that you were saved, and old things were passed away, and all things had become new because of the blood. And church, we need to stand as one. I know that there are many within that have strayed from our biblical heritage. And as we look at America today, we see foundational values such as prayer, morality, honesty, integrity, and godliness. They are all under attack. There are some people that want to redefine our nation. but it's been defined, thank God, by our Constitution. And we all have constitutional rights, and everyone in this nation has the same constitutional right. But America has been on a downward spiral since the 1960s. On June the 25th, 1962, the U.S. Supreme Court declared school-sponsored prayer and Bible reading unconstitutional. They went against the Constitution to do that because we have freedom of worship. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. See, so our problems didn't just begin in this nation, and our nation has been on a downward spiral for many years. It didn't happen with the last administration, but it has gotten progressively worse. And one of the reasons is that the church has been divided politically. Let me say that again. The church has been divided politically. This world is not our home, and we need to stand up for Christian values. We don't need to support the values of a political party whose values are not biblical values. Amen. Go on, praise God. I'm preaching truth this morning. If the Democrats are following biblical principles, then you can choose to support them. If the Republicans are following biblical principles and biblical values, you can choose to support them. But church, we don't need to vote party. We need to vote the Bible. And the church needs to come together. And we need to stand as one. Hallelujah. There is strength in unity. God said, if I can just get my people together in unity, the Bible says how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessings. Do you want God to command his blessings upon your home? Get together in unity. Do you want God to perform and command his blessings upon your life? Get together with people of like precious faith in unity. God said, if I can just get you together, hallelujah, if I can get the church standing as one, there I will command the blessings. Have you wondered why we're not seeing the miracles and the signs and wonders more than we're seeing? We need to come together and we need to stand together as one, purchased by the blood of Jesus. Go on, praise God, hallelujah. Now, let me get over into politics. See, our prior administration wanted to take prayer out of everything, except for one group of people. And I'm not even going to call their name, but they wanted to give them rights and take away the Christian right. That's what happened to us. They didn't want to recognize this nation's Judeo-Christian values, and they certainly did not want God in their platform. That's a fact. You can go back and research it yourself. See, the present administration, that administration has an evangelical prayer team. Can you believe that? I don't know if you saw the address that was made last night to the veterans by our president. But I'm going to tell you, President Donald Trump, he ran on a ticket and a slogan, Make America Great Again. He may not embrace all of our religious theology. Amen. He may not even act like a Christian at some times. Amen. But he does recognize and embrace God, and he does embrace prayer, and he does embrace the Bible. And as such, the church needs to come together and to recognize what God is doing. And by the way, it was the evangelical vote and the vote of the veterans that carried President Donald Trump over the top in the election. That's just a fact. Thank God. See, God has given this nation a window of opportunity. The church has been silent too long. We have been too soft on sin. Amen. And we need to pray so God can move in response to our prayer. We need a great revival. Amen. We need to pray for this nation. Because God will move when the church begins to cry out in prayer. He moved on behalf of Israel. The Bible is full of accounts where God moved on their behalf. And God will move on our behalf. And when God's people pray, when they cry out, God will answer. And 2 Chronicles 7:14, it is still true today. Look at it. You can even read it with me. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. See, God's hand has been upon America since its very birth, and God will respond to his people's prayer if they will only pray. If God spared Nineveh, that wicked pagan city who had no covenant with God, when they cried out in prayer and repentance, God will spare this great nation, America. Go and praise God because you're a part of it. Amen. But see, God is a loving, miracle-working, merciful God. And he responds to people. It doesn't matter how far down you have gone. It doesn't matter, you know, how far away from God you have gone. If you will only return to God, God said, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the day you marched down the aisle and gave your heart to Jesus and nailed and bent your knee at an old rugged cross and accepted Christ? See, America must return to the God of the Bible. Look at 2 Peter 3 and 9. By the way, this was in our Sunday school lesson. And if you missed Sunday school this morning, I'm telling you, you young converts, you need to come to Sunday school. We have some great Sunday school teachers. What a marvelous job was done this morning. 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God wants the whole world to be saved. I love it. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I'm glad that he loved me when I was yet in my sin. Aren't you glad that while you were yet in your sin, that God loved you and he sent the Holy Ghost and wooed you and called you to the cross so you could be washed in the blood and free from sin. Glory to God. That's the power of the gospel right there. It can change a person from nature to grace. It can take out that old sinful heart and put in a heart that loves everybody. That's how Jesus said, "This by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another." Pray, church, for national revival, because when God's people turn to him in prayer, God will pour out his mercy. I want to take you back to World War II. How many know have ever read about the great General George Patton? He was not what you would consider a very godly man from his language and what he did, but listen to this account. During the Battle of the Bulge, General George Patton turned to God for his help. He called the head chaplain of the Third Army, James H. O'Neill, a Catholic priest. And the general asked him, "Do you have a good prayer for weather? We must do something about this rain if we're going to win this war." The chaplain searched through his prayer books and could find no suitable prayer, and so he composed an original prayer, and I quote, "Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to restrain these immoderate rains with which we have to contend. Grant us the weather for battle. Graciously hearken unto us as soldiers who call upon thee, that armed with thy power, we may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies and establish thy justice among men and nations." End of quote. General Patton, he had 250,000 copies of that prayer printed, and they distributed them to every soldier, and the soldiers, along with the general, along with the chaplain, everyone began to pray, and God stopped the rain, and God gave them the victory. Patton said this, and I quote, "There are three ways that men get what they want: by planning, by working, and by prayer." How many times have I preached that? By planning, by working, by prayer. Any great military operation takes careful planning. Then you must have well-trained troops to carry it out. That's working. Between the plan and the operation, there is always the unknown. The unknown spells defeat or victory, success or failure. It is the reaction of the actors to the ordeal when it actually comes. Some people call it breaks. I call it God. God has his part or margin in everything. That's where prayer comes in. End of quote. Who would have ever thought that General George Patton would have solicited the prayers from a chaplain that he would turn to God in a battle like it as you look at his life? Who would ever think, when you look at Donald Trump's life, President Donald Trump, that he would turn to God in prayer? Yet that is what he has done. And the evangelicals, they need to stand up and they need to become one. And we need to support what God is wanting to do in this nation. Hallelujah. I'm not saying be a Republican. I'm not saying be a Democrat. I'm saying if godly values are exemplified, and if a man will turn to God, and if a man in an administration will turn to prayer, then we need to support that, and the church needs to come together, and we need to stand together as one, and we need to make America great again. Hallelujah. One man can't do it, just like one man couldn't pray that prayer. But when 250,000 people began to cry out to God with one accord, God stopped the weather. God turned it around. And God gave America the battle of the bulge of victory. And God gave the war, the winning of the war, to America. And we're free today because somebody prayed. Hallelujah. Somebody stood together. And we need to come together and stand together as one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God delivered Israel, and he will deliver us. No people has ever faced any greater obstacle than the Israelites did in the Old Testament. They had been in bondage 430 years, slaves in a foreign land. And after their miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 long years. Moses, their leader, he died. And God raised up Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. God can raise up a Moses. God can raise up a Joshua. God can raise up a leader when God chooses to raise him up. And sometimes they come from the most unexpected places. Sometimes God needs a General George Patton, a man that will stand up with some backbone. Sometimes God needs a President Donald Trump that will stand up and clean the swamp out, amen, and call it what it is, praise God, and stand up for the rights of the people of the United States of America. You have rights. Are you going to let a bunch of left wingers take those rights from you? Or are you going to come together and stand together as a triumphant, victorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God was determined to save his covenant people. And I believe God's determined to save America too. And as Israel followed Joshua through the wilderness to the border of the promised land, they faced two major obstacles from our observation. First, the Jordan River. It was overflowing its banks. Secondly, the Canaanites who occupied that area, they weren't about to relinquish that land without a fight. Don't you think anybody's going to lay down without a fight? Amen. You got to fight this thing through. It's called the good fight of faith. Amen. But I read the end of the book, praise God, and we win. The man that started Facebook, he said, the Facebook will become the church of tomorrow. I told my wife, I said, no way. I said, Facebook will never become the church, and neither will any other church. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, he said, I'll build my church. Get connected to the church. Hallelujah. Stay connected to the church, and you can win some great victories in life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Joshua 1:3. God told Joshua, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given to you as I said unto Moses. He also promised Joshua that none of the people of Canaan would be able to stand before him. What was the condition? See, God's promises, they always have a condition. Look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. God said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Joshua 1 and 8, not 2 Peter 1 and 8, Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That means pray. When you meditate, when you muse, when you think on something, you're thinking about God if you're thinking about his laws. You're praying. Meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe. You got to be doers of the word to do according to all that's written therein. If you do that, God says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shall thou have good success. And with that promise before him, and with the power of God on him, Joshua led his people, and they marched forward into victory. Hallelujah. See, I'm a military man, and I understand strategy, and I understand training, and I understand hard work. But it's just like General George Patton says, somewhere between the plan and somewhere between the operation and the carrying of out with well-trained troops, that is the unknown. And that's the element that brings God into the equation. That's what your faith will do. When the doctors say no, God says yes. When the economist says no, God says yes. We got testimonies all throughout this place where people didn't have jobs. People shut the door and said no. I'm a product of that, but God said yes, and God opened a door for me. Hallelujah. And God has opened doors for many people. I tell people, if you don't have God's favor, get around somebody's got favor. Ride their coattail. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy, they follow me everywhere I go. Hallelujah. Get connected to a church where the power of God is, where somebody will believe God, and somebody will believe God not only for their victories, they'll believe God for your victories. Hallelujah. Go on and praise him. That's right, church. Praise him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Church, we must pray and we must step out in faith. Look at Psalms 33 and 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people who has chosen him for their own inheritance. Psalms 33 and 12, brother. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Is God your Lord? Is God the Lord of America? I believe he is. That's why we're such a blessed nation. Amen. See, our nation has been under attack, but God has heard the cry of his people, and God has sent us a deliverer. You may not agree with all his policies, but President Donald Trump, he was elected against all odds. They still have not figured out how he got in yet. And Christians need to recognize that. See, God used General George Patton, and God will use President General, hallelujah. Looks like George Washington to me, Donald Trump, hallelujah. God raised that man up, and the church needs to recognize it. We were headed down a wrong path. I mean, our rights and our liberties were being stripped away from us. And now God has given us a chance to turn this nation around and make America great again. To take America back to the Bible. To take America back to our biblical roots. Amen. And if you can't see that, you're blind. And you need to get alone in a prayer altar somewhere and say, God, open my blind eyes. I don't see it. I've been taught wrong. Well, if you're taught wrong, praise God, I'm preaching right. God raised this nation up, and God has raised us up to pray and to keep America free so we can carry this glorious gospel to the ends of the earth and gather the end time harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our leadership at all levels. We need to support them with our prayers because God has given us an opportunity to make a difference. Pray for the preachers in this nation. Pray for your pastor. Pray. Pray for a national revival. See, if a revival comes to the church, a spiritual awakening will come to this nation. Get involved, church. Get involved in some Christian activity. If it's just cleaning the grass out of the flower beds and fluffing up the pine straw, get involved. Get involved in your community. Let your light shine. Hallelujah. Seek the face of God, and we can dispel the darkness that has tried to cover this land. Amen. Just like Joshua. We're facing some great obstacles, but our God is greater than any obstacle. that we face. Look at Joshua 24 and 15. Most of you know the latter part of that. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Men, you're the spiritual pastor, the head of your home. And you need to stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Give me people with the spirit of Joshua, and we can turn this nation around. Hallelujah. We don't need to be afraid to preach truth. We don't need to be afraid and back down to that political machine that says, see, they just roll back President Johnson, what he did, and he said, you can't say this in church and you can't say that. He never stopped me from doing it. Anytime I want to preach the word of God, anytime I want to talk about politics from this pulpit, as long as I've got the gospel in it, praise God, I have freedom. I have liberty. I saw men shed their blood. I saw men blown all to pieces in combat. And praise God, I've got a right and you've got a right, and they served their nation so you would have that right. Don't let anybody take your liberties from you. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel a mean streak coming on when people try to do something like that. No, you can't oppress us. We're free. The Son has freed us. We're not oppressed, praise God. We're blessed going out. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed and highly favored of God. We're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath, praise God. He said, I bless everything you put your hands on, but you got to preach the truth and you got to rightly divide the word. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. I love my country, and I'm thankful that I live here. And my prayer is, God bless America from sea to shining sea, and God make America great again. I love America, and it's time for the army of God to arise and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Put the devil on notice. Let him know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. See, this book, this Bible, is not a book about massive movements. The Bible is a book of ordinary individuals. One man, one woman, being used of God to make a difference. See, the Bible is a book of ordinary people that had a conviction about what was right and what was wrong. So we must pray. We must step out in faith, and we must uphold the godly standards of the Bible. We must make sure that the principles on which America was founded, we must make sure that they do not end up in the garbage heap of history. We've got a heritage, and we need to protect it. The first step, church, is always the toughest step. Anybody ever started anything, and you wondered? See, that's the unknown. That's where you need God. But the first step is always the hardest step. See, the Lord commanded Joshua to bring the people of Israel to the bank of the Jordan River. The second step was to step out into the water. The scriptures tell us that the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant into the river. And when the soles of their feet rested in the waters rose up, and Israel was able to walk across on dry ground. That was the battle plan. They had a plan. They had some people. And they put God in the equation. See, then a whole generation that was there that had been lost in the wilderness. But now the people were ready to believe God, and they were ready to obey His word. We've lost generations in this nation. We have. And we've got to take them back to the Bible. There are thousands of promises in the Word of God. And there are also thousands of problems that we face as we live our lives. Problems are a part of life. I wish it was not in the Bible, but the Bible says that man born of woman is few of days and full of troubles. It's just the fact that problems are a part of life. But God's promises, they're all greater than our problems. God is a merciful God, and He wants His promises to all be fulfilled in our lives. And it's up to you and me to make his promises become a reality. So how do we make the promises of God become a reality in our lives? First of all, point number one, we need a clean heart. A clean heart. As Joshua prepared the children of Israel to cross the river, he told them, sanctify yourself. Amen. He called them to repent. He called them to cleanse their heart so they could serve God. Look at Joshua 3 and 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do miracles or wonders among you. See, he said, get your heart right today. See, today is the day of salvation. We don't need to put off getting our hearts right, and we don't need to put off getting our nation right either. Nations are made up of people, and it's you and it's me. One home, one church, one community, one state, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. See, even our founding fathers, they put that oneness in there because they understood the power of God if you'll stand together as one. If the church would ever sanctify herself, God would do great wonders in our nation. Sanctify yourself today so I can do miracles in your midst tomorrow. How can we make God's promises a reality in our lives? Secondly, a focused mind. You have to have a focused mind. Not only were the Israelites to sanctify themselves, they were to focus their attention on God. See, we tend to focus on our problems. We tend to focus on the family. We tend to focus on our profession. We tend to focus on our careers and a thousand other things. While I've been preaching this message, some of you, your mind has wandered away from this message, and you're thinking about, what am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to fix this problem? What am I going to have for lunch? What am I going to do tonight? You're not focused. You need to get focused. I mean, you need to get your attention focused. Glory to God. I got something to say. I really have something to say. I didn't choose this as a career. My career is business, but this is my calling. And I do this because he called me. And I do this because I love to follow the call of God. I want his blessings on my life. And if I don't focus and if I don't follow him, guess what? He'll cut me off. He'll cut you off too. But if you'll focus and be holy and sanctified, then God will bless your life. Amen. How do we make the promises of God a reality in our lives? A focused mind. Look at this. Matthew 6:33. I love this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, holy living, a sanctified life, and all these things shall be added unto you. How do we make God's promises a reality in our lives? Number three, unquestioned obedience. Unquestioned obedience. If God says do it, then do it. Joshua told the priest to put the Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders and to step into the water. If the people of America would listen to godly leadership, we could turn this nation around. Too many people want to argue with the preacher and to question his message. If he is preaching the word of God, don't question it. Just obey it. And God's blessings will flow into your life. Hallelujah. That's how you get God's blessing. How do you make the promises of God a reality in your life? I mean, who wants to hear the word if you're not living the word? If it's not happening in your life, then something is wrong and you need to check yourself. And I need to check myself if the blessings are not flowing into my life. So how do we make them a reality? Number four, expect the miracle. That's faith. Expect God to do what God said he'll do if you do what God says do. See, we must expect God's promises to be fulfilled in our lives. If Joshua and the people had turned back, they would have never entered the promised land. Church, we don't need to turn back. We don't need to give up. I know we're in perilous times. We're in the last days. But we need to go on in God. And we need to turn this nation back to God. Hallelujah. See, Israel had to cross that swollen river. But when they stepped out in faith, God stepped in and God performed a miracle. When you step out in faith, God will step in and God will perform that miracle in your life. Let me see the hands of some of you that have had miracles. I got to hold mine up. Look at that. I want the devil to see them all. We've got miracles from God because we serve a God of miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. The good news, church, is that there is hope for America. We can make America great again. Will we become the great nation that we're capable of becoming? Or will we slip deeper and deeper into moral failure and spiritual decline? See, the good news is there's hope for America. But only if we will humble ourselves before God in prayer and seek His face. I close with this. This is a profound prayer. Many of you have heard it. It was prayed by Pastor Joe Wright before the State House in Topeka, Kansas. They've given this credit to many other people, but he's the man that wrote it. America's problems, as I said earlier, they didn't just begin. We have been experiencing a moral decline since the 1960s. I went and searched this prayer. I have an original copy of it somewhere. But I went to search it because I wanted to find out when it was written, when it was prayed. This prayer was prayed on January the 23rd, 1999. And I quote, "Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, 'Woe to those who call evil good,' but that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it moral pluralism. We confess we have worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We confess we have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyles. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be any wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. I ask it in the name of your Son, the loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." End of quote. Church, I ask you, will you support the cause of Jesus Christ? We can make America great again, but only if we will come together as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and stand together. Will you accept the challenge, or will you stand idly by and watch your nation continue to decline? Your future and that of your family, it depends on you. Because God has promised. 2 Chronicles 7:14, brother, put it up there. "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." Let us stand.
He is Lord. He is Lord.
He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we pray for this great nation. God, help us to come together and to make America great again. Help us, God, to be that city set upon a hill with our light shining out to the world, the glorious gospel light. Help us, God, to be holy, to be sanctified, because we've got a generation, God, generations that we need to touch. We've got children, we've got grandchildren, God, and they need to walk in the light of your word. And they need a nation, God, where all people of all colors and all races can come together and say, I'm an American.
Hallelujah.
I'm an American. I choose to be an American. I'm not a white American. I'm not an English American. I'm not an African American. I'm not an Indian American. I am an American. I am one with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. There is one faith. There is one Lord. There is one Spirit. There is one baptism. And I believe the Bible. And I believe that if I will stand together with people of like precious faith, that we can make a difference in this nation.
Yes.
That we can take our nation back to God as it was intended to be by our founding fathers. That our constitutional rights and our values, that they will not be perverted by anyone, but we will stand together and stand strong in Jesus' mighty name. Your Lord, hallelujah, glorious.
Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
You're here today and you don't know Jesus, you can know Him. You're watching by live stream, the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You believe that He died, that He was your sin substitute. He took your sins and He carried them off so you could be free from sin. He paid your price. And today, if you will call upon His name and say, come into my heart, wash my sins away, the Lord will save you. He promised to do that. And God is not willing that any should perish, but you would come to Him and say, Lord, wash me, cleanse me. Thank you that I'm saved, that I'm a part of the family of God. And I praise you and I love you, Lord. Sing it. He is Lord. Hallelujah.
Ooh.
He's my Lord.